Colin, you sent Struds and I a video earlier today, and I was chuckling because it reminded me of the movie Cars, where Doc's like, turn right to go left. But originally when you sent it to me, nothing's faster than, I thought you were, it was like the chili bowl. I literally thought you were going to send me a video on like a chili eating contest.
I guess that's
like, I'm not even joking. That's what I thought it was.
Yeah, I guess it could be confusing. I mean, the original, the name came from the chili bowl company. So they actually made these chili bowls. But really, really awesome event. What'd you think of that video?
You know what? It's pretty, like, what are those cars called officially?
They're midget sprint cars. So they'll, their primary function is to run on dirt. Almost exclusively, they run outdoors. But this is a pretty cool event that they've got there. So watching these guys rip around, inside on dirt is pretty awesome.
Like, I was watching, I'm like, I'm getting dizzy just, now granted, I'm not a guy who can go in circles like that, but that was a small track. Like, it almost looked maybe slightly bigger, like, I don't know, maybe an 800 meter track. I don't know how big that was, but that was small. Like, I can, like, just going around and around and around, like, I don't know how they don't get dizzy.
Well, they're professionals, and that's what they do. It's a quarter mile. So, I mean, I know you've been out to Wetaskiwin. It's basically if you built a structure around the Wetaskiwin track and had those guys running around. The cool thing, though, is it's indoors, so all that sound stays inside. You know, the exhaust stays inside. Obviously, they vent it. Otherwise, people would have a hard time breathing. But, yeah, no, the Chili Bowl is just a really awesome event. And for, you know, I mean, motorsports fans will typically know about it. But for people who don't, I mean, there's over 300 entries trying to qualify to get through all the qualifying and what are called the mains to be able to race for the win this weekend. You know, like a really decent race will have like an A, B, and C main. That means you got a lot of cars that are going to get filtered down. These guys, I lost count. I think they go to an N main. So there's just guys from all over the place, NASCAR drivers, former champions. It's just a really, really, really cool event.
It must be tiring, like, because you're constantly turning, right? Is that not more fatiguing than you're going on a straightaway more often?
Well, they're sliding, though, so there's not, you know, you don't really have a lot of G-force compared to, you know, running on asphalt. But, like, anybody who's anyone in stock car racing has spent time on the dirt, and that's kind of unfair. I mean, some guys have come up through asphalt, but racing on dirt, racing on clay, you know, every single lap that you run is different from the last one. And if you pay attention and you get a chance to watch these guys, and it doesn't even matter if you go out to Castro on the dirt oval out there, guys will run a different line every single lap. You can't just, like, your car can't be set up to run one place. You can't just be comfortable running high or low. That might be your preference. You've got to hunt and figure out every single lap where the traction is, watch the guys in front, you know, try and pay attention to the guys behind. It just teaches, like, these guys have as good a car control as any driver. And you watch them, you know, they're sliding. It looks like they're way out of control, but, you know, these guys really know what they're doing. It's for me, this is just like Disneyland.
Okay. Colin Livingston from the Cantorca Racing Report joins us. Colin, Romain Grosjean, of course, was in that horrific accident in F1. He put out some pictures on his social media. Like, this is still 2 months after healing, and you see his right hand specifically. Like, oh my, like, it's obviously, you know, it's great, but it just illustrates, like, I'm kind of stunned when you watch that replay of that again, that he survived. And now it looks like, you know, he's on the road to maybe having, like, a complete full recovery. So that in itself is kind of crazy. Like, I know that most racers understand there's always the risk that you can get injured, but man, like, catching on fire like that, like, that's got to be, I don't know, like, the worst fear for racers.
Yeah, I mean, without question, because when, you know, you can get into certain accidents where there might be a little bit of fire, but for the most part you're able to get away from it. But getting trapped within fire is you know, the serious fear. You know, we've kind of covered this at a bit of length already, but yeah, it's great to see. He's been awesome about updating through his social media platforms. Every single picture that I've seen posted has him smiling, and that you know, that just kind of really shows who he is as a person. You know, looking back at his career, I mean, he definitely caused a lot of accidents. I saw something here a couple of weeks ago that was sent to me about, you know, these guys who are more known as wrecking balls. You know, I think he was maybe, you know, at the wrong place at the wrong time in Formula One, but, you know, really neat story, and I didn't have time to update you guys, but came through. There was rumor that he was going to be moving to IndyCar, and then with the accident, that really put everything into question. But a story resurfaced today that it looks like he's close to signing a deal with an IndyCar team, Dale Coyne. I have a few friends who actually work in there. Now, they can't say yes or no. I mean, they can only say that there have been discussions happening, but nothing's done yet. But that would be really cool. I think Grosjean would do really well in IndyCar, just, you know, not because they're any easier, but I think now at this point in his life, he's made his money. He's definitely going to have a different appreciation for getting in the race car. And I think the style of IndyCar, where it's a little bit more fan-focused, will suit a guy like that really well. So hopefully he gets this thing done and we can see him, you know, get back in a race car as early as this year.
Talking speed, kart racing with our good friend Colin Livingston for the Cantorque Racing Report. Colin, F1 has formally adjusted their calendar. And what are the changes and how does that affect the teams?
I mean, the teams are going to respond to whatever happens. You know, the only significant adjustment is it looks like, and I don't think this part has been 100% finalized, it looks like the testing, the preseason testing, they're only allowed 3 days. The last, you know, bunch of years it's been held in Barcelona. It sounds like because the first race has been postponed in Australia, and as of now, the race in Shanghai, which was completely missed last year, and it's not on the calendar as of now, it looks like the testing is going to happen in Bahrain, which is supposed to happen 2 weeks before the first race there. So I think it'll, I don't think it's going to affect any of the teams. I mean, we're now just, you know, right around 2 months away from the start of the season, and, you know, the champion still doesn't have a contract. And it sounds like it's getting a little bit more tense because, of course, you know, the closer they get to, you know, car launch date, you know, to be able to throw somebody into the car if for whatever reason talks break down, you know, this is going to get way more important the closer to the start of the season and you know, really for testing. I mean, to do any amount of promotion, you know, Mercedes is still using Lewis as their driver. They still have posts, talking about him. But he's not under contract. So it's going to get interesting the closer we get.
Well, I really look at Hamilton and as you mentioned earlier, now, maybe a team would be willing to buy a guy out of his contract to get him somewhere else and then pay him close to the money. So it would cost him even more money than he would want because they'd have to pay it out. Like, I just think I get that he's great and he's done everything, but sometimes you got to take a realistic look at where society is right now and what's going on in the world and, you know, advertising dollars and everything else that, you know, what you ask for and what you're going to end up getting are totally two different things. And, you know, hey, I get that he's a great driver, no question about it, but they always have an advantage, Colin. And you know what? They put another driver in. He might not dominate like Hamilton, but he'd probably be fairly competitive. Is that safe to say?
Without question, anybody that would get in Lewis's car is going to be competitive. But, you know, big picture, they're going to really have to look at Red Bull and even Ferrari and now McLaren. These guys are all chomping at their heels and they really need to be as competitive as possible. Without Hamilton, you know, I don't know that we can really look at salaries and the amount of money these guys get paid properly because it's such an escalated level. I mean, you're talking about cars that are worth, you know, really tens of millions of dollars. That doesn't make sense to commoners like us. And the fact that Lewis gets paid, you know, a reported 40 million euro, 40 million pounds, it doesn't even matter what the currency is. It's an unbelievably high amount of money. But what Lewis does in the race car is unprecedented, but what he does outside of the car is equally unprecedented for the amount of time he spends, the amount of time he spends on causes, you know, the Black Lives Matter causes. He's a really avid vegan as of now. The amount of merchandise that he sells, the amount of people that he draws to the TV, these are all, like, there's a lot of people who watch just because they dislike Lewis, and there's millions of people that watch because they love the guy. Not having him in a car would be a really, really, really bad thing for Formula One. Just my opinion. I mean, no matter what the sport's going to go on, no matter what Lewis is going to go on, but I think, you know, they're both better together. It sounded like the biggest deal is trying to come up with the term, because he wants a 4-year deal reportedly. The team wants to sign him to a 1-year deal, because starting in 2022 is when the driver cap comes in. So, if Lewis can get the contract beyond this year, he's able to bypass that salary cap.
Like, at the end of the day, do any of them break even or make money, or is it just a losing bet?
The next 2, if not 3 years are going to be at best break even, if not money losing. You know, without having fans around, without that element, and obviously depressed economies, it's going to make it really tough to turn profits. But the idea is to build towards the future. I mean, even if the teams aren't necessarily turning a big profit, they do so much of their actual automotive production development through racing. So much of what we have in our cars today was something that was invented at the racetrack. You know, things like anti-locking brakes and all-wheel drive and all that stuff. Those are all innovations that came out of racing. The teams need to keep this stuff up. And, right now the big thing that they're developing is these turbo hybrid, you know, combination of fuel and electric engines that, that started to come down to the consumer level. They're ridiculous numbers. I just hope at the end of the day, you know, Lewis gets his name on a contract and can keep doing what he's been doing.
Colin, great stuff, man. We look forward to chatting with you next week. Have a great weekend.
Okay, guys, thanks a lot.